وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين to all the wonderful duas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise you in rank. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International, today we're going to be discussing the story of Majnoon writing Layla's name on the sand. As I mentioned previously, the stories of Layla and Majnoon, just as the stories of Romeo and Juliet, are very, very, very famous. Once Majnoon was sitting on the bank of a river, repeatedly writing the name of Layla on the sand. So a passerby saw him and asked, "Oh Majnoon, what are you busy doing? To whom are you writing this letter?" So Majnoon replied, "When parting from my Layla distresses me, I write her name repeatedly, and in this way give consolation to a heart grieved by separation." I remember once reading a waqiya of Layla and Majnoon. The story comes that Majnoon was riding a horse going towards Layla, and he fell off the horse and he injured himself, and he started stretching out his hand and crawling an inch by inch. And people asked him, "You will get nowhere by just crawling an inch at a time." And Majnoon exclaimed at that particular time that every inch I draw, I'm coming closer to the house of my beloved, my Layla. So this was figurative love. So, and in this way, he would give consolation to heart grieved by separation. So Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullahi gives advice, "O people, this is the effect of sensual love. Can the true love for the master be any less than that?" In other words, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be intense, and it cannot be compared to sensual love. So in this story, there is an answer to those without inner insight who criticize those who continuously and repeatedly recite the name of Allah. The lovers of Allah, the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they keep on saying Allah, 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 or they would keep on saying La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. In spiritual ecstasy, they will repeatedly call out the name of their beloved. So why do these devotees make so much dhikr and project so much love for Allah? Why do they continue pouring out before Him their complaints, their sighs, their lamentations? We have also studied so many books. We also possess libraries. We also give lectures and talks. Why is it that we do not acquire the same state as them? So then after these questions, they explain their own deprivation by saying, these devotees do their dhikr, spiritual vigils, their sighs and their crying before Allah to be seen by men. So they have bad guman, you know, bad notion about these pious people. And then they just make a deduction to attract people towards them and to gain worldly benefit. If only these unjust ones could observe these saintly ones in the privacy of their inner rooms, engaging in prayer and dhikr. This is why tahajjud salah is a salah that is performed by those who are the true devotees and lovers of Allah. Because at that time, when they are engaged in ibadat and supplicating unto Allah and proclaiming in dhikr Allah, Allah, there is none to see them because their relationship is purely with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who is there to witness their prostrations? For whom are these prostrations made in privacy? For whom do they wet their places of prostration with their tears? Who is there to see them sending their sighs and ahs up to Allah, before whom they complain of all their pains and distresses? Majzub has cried over all the calamities of this world. Now to grant him blessings and acceptance is left to you, O Allah. These are the saints of Allah, whose ahs, their lamentations, and their messages continuously reach up to the throne of Allah, and who have a strong connection with Allah. They remain silent here on earth, but still their hearts declare their love for Allah. So the saintly ones are silent, but their repetitions of their cries reach the beloved and reach up to his throne. To whom are they showing their blessed solitude so that they reap material benefit? In fact, their ahs are hidden from the whole universe. It's a private conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now from this story, we turn to something else. If Layla was a mere corpse producing stinking urine and feces could make someone fall madly in love, then what about that being who creates thousands of Laylas and destroys them, and who is the fountainhead of all beautiful forms and the center of all beauty? I mean, if you look at the entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can look at the perfection and the beauty of a rose. You can look at the carnation and look at the tulips. Look at the wings of a butterfly and look at the colors on the various birds. In all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can see the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is the creator of that beauty and that harmony. Can that being with perfect beauty and love not make one mad in love with him? He is the holy and perfect being. His mad ones are also holy. The prophets and saints are his mad lovers, who will continue to be his successful and honored ones in both worlds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants his beauty, bountiful present to his lovers. You know, when the adhan goes and the glorious name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is called out, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would focus his attention so much on Allah. Then when Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala now says, it's Aisha, he says, which Aisha? Who? In other words, he should be so lost in the remembrance and the thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is eternal love. In contrast to that, what does Layla's Majnoon get? Majnoon gets worldly love, which is something figurative, not true love. Figurative means something which is not the true thing. As such, he who is involved with figurative love will always be in deception. The beauty for which he is prepared to die departs when the object of that beauty dies. On the other hand, the one who is involved with divine love, his object of his love is the being of Allah, which is everlasting, hayyun qayyum, never perishes. For this reason, his love remains forever. And when the lover passes away, he carries with him the pleasure of the hope of meeting his true love. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَارَةِ رَبِّهِ أَهْدًا. It is a desire of every lover to meet Allah. So he who has a desire to meet Allah, let him work righteous deeds and let him not ascribe a single partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us his true lovers. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.